Let's go to Romans chapter 8 with me this evening, if you would, in your Bibles there. In Romans chapter 8, we're looking at the practice of righteousness, of walking in the Spirit, the practicing of righteousness. Now, we looked at the battle for righteousness. We saw in chapter 7, there's the flesh, there's the Spirit, and they do not get along. Here in Romans chapter 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We find here that despite the failure that was described by Paul in the preceding chapter, remember when he said, "Those things which I do, I allow not, that I would, that do I not, and what I hate, that do I," and he was looking at this conflict that was within the soul, even though he might have frequently yielded to sin, he did not have to continue to live a defeated life. Paul could experience a victorious Christian life, even though he still had to contend with his fleshly nature. To experience victory, however, Paul had to walk or live daily after the Spirit. In another epistle, Ephesians 5:18, he says it like this: "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." He used a very extreme illustration of something that was within a person to control them. And very, very important there. I was reading way back on January 6, 1941, President Roosevelt addressed the U.S. Congress on the state of the war in Europe. Much of what he said that day has been forgotten, but at the close of his address, he said that he looked forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms, and he named them: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. These words are still remembered, even though their ideals have not yet, of course, been realized in the world. But we find here in Romans chapter 8, this is the Christian's declaration of freedom. In this chapter, we're going to find four spiritual freedoms that we enjoy because of our union with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is now mentioned in this chapter, and I know it's a fairly long one for Romans, but we got, 39 verses here. But the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times. I would say he's got a pretty clear emphasis here that it's about the Spirit. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, he says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And we know that we must have the Holy Spirit's control. What we find is the first thing here, number one here, is freedom from judgment. The first freedom we have is freedom from judgment. He says there is no condemnation. Now, we've been studying on Sunday mornings, we studied a couple weeks there about the judgment seat of Christ, that Bema seat. That's totally different than the judgment that we're talking about here. Here he's telling us we have no condemnation. That Bema seat is for rewards. This judgment that he's talking about under the flesh and under the law is one that really condemns. If you go all the way back to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20, he tells us there, "Therefore, by the deeds of the flesh, there shall no deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So he's saying here that there, therefore, he says, of no, the therefore of condemnation, that the deeds of the law are not going to bring justification, so the law condemns. Now when he gets to chapter 8, verse 1, he gives the therefore of no condemnation. Rather than that which condemns us, he says this does not. A tremendous truth and the conclusion of a marvelous argument. The basis of this wonderful assurance is the phrase there in chapter 8, verse 1, "To them which are in Christ Jesus." That Christ is the solution here. And in him, there's no condemnation, right? We know that Christians sin, okay? They're not perfect, without mistakes, wrong decisions. For instance, Abraham lied about his wife. David committed adultery. Peter denied Christ. Now, did they suffer consequences for their sins? Sure. Okay. But they did not suffer condemnation. God, they were not cut off from God and their sin therefore judged, sending them into an eternity without God. They did not suffer that condemnation. Now, the Greek word for condemnation essentially means a judgment against. You ever had somebody say to you, "Don't judge me"? I don't know why they always fold their arms when they say that, but they usually do. "Don't judge me." Why? Because there's something that they're feeling condemned about. But this phrase, "in Christ Jesus," refers to the status and position of believers as a result of their faith in Him. By nature, every single one of us is under the condemnation of God. But in salvation, what happens to the condemnation? It's now lifted. It's taken from us. John 3:18, I put that in your notes. I think this is a great verse. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." It very clearly tells us that we are condemned for not believing in Christ. And when we believe on Christ, we are no longer condemned. And it tells us why. It makes it very clear to us what is that condemnation. We see several things here underneath this fact that we're free from judgment. In verse 2, he's under letter A there, the law cannot claim you, cannot lay claim to your life. Okay? He says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." So we were condemned. Remember, here's the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus. He is knocked down by Jesus Christ Himself on that road and gets saved. He goes on to serve the Lord. Here he was persecuting Christians, those of the way. Though he was religious, he was under condemnation. Now he's telling us that he is being made free from the law of sin and death, that the law can no longer claim this. In Romans chapter 7, verse 4, says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." But he says that we are become dead to the law, meaning now that it's not going to affect me, right? That if I am dead to something, doesn't bother me. You can talk about the law all day long. I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm not going to feel condemned because I'm not underneath that condemnation of the law. Are there things in the law that are good? Absolutely. Thou shalt not steal. I like that. It means somebody else shouldn't steal from me because I have no problem in not stealing from someone else. Doesn't bother me, right? And we could go through things and say, I'm not condemned because now I am dead to that. I am under Christ. He cannot lay claim to me. And he says there in Romans 8, verse 2, that we have been made free from the law of sin and death. That's the controlling influence of sin, which now leads to death. Not just a physical death, we know, but a spiritual death. Now, it says here, I've got here, the law cannot claim you. Well, when I think of claiming something, I often think of people, because I've been there, I think of people claiming baggage on the carousel at the airport after they fly. You ever been there? And your luggage comes out. Yeah, Binnell says, "My luggage did not come out." Okay, it was still in India and he was in Vancouver. But you're standing there at the carousel and you're waiting and this luggage comes out of there. Usually, you know, yours is the one that's ripped because they threw it around to get it on the plane. But anyway, it comes out of there and it tumbles down there and it goes around on this big carousel. And we were at the time living in Whitehorse and we had flown back to Ontario. We gone back home to Whitehorse. And as we arrived there, I got to the carousel to find a bag that looked like mine, but it wasn't mine. Someone else had claimed my bag and took it home. So I was left with this bag that looked just like mine, only that was not my name on there. So I saw a phone number on the bag, and I called and explained that I have their bag, and most likely they have mine. And he'd actually gotten all the way home without realizing that they had the wrong one. The analogy is that Satan wants to come along with the law, claim your baggage. He wants to claim your life. And Christ has come along and told Satan that my baggage now belongs to him. And God, my Savior, tells Satan to get his hands off my baggage. You know what Satan would like to do? He'd like to take your baggage and he would like to scatter it all over the airport. That's what he'd like to do. He would like to take your baggage from your past. He would like to take all of your sin and spread it all over for the world to know. And guess what? Your Savior steps in and says, you're not under that condemnation anymore. Let me carry that bag for you. And he makes the claim. Sometimes I see these luggage tags. They've got great big letters on, says, this is not your bag. So I like that one. You know what? Satan comes along and he wants to get in my business and he wants to condemn me with the law. And my Savior steps in and says, see my hands? Satan, that's not your bag. He takes claim. The law has no more claim over all my stuff and my junk too. All the sin from the past, Christ says, let me carry that for you. And he takes that baggage, the sin from the past, and like he says in what? Psalms, puts in the depths of the deepest sea. It's gone. Praise the Lord. So we find the law cannot claim you. Also in verse number 3 here under letter B, the law cannot condemn you. And that's very clear. He says there's no condemnation. But he says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So the law cannot condemn us because God sent his son who has suffered that condemnation on the cross. What the law could not do, could not save anyone, could only condemn. Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh, showing that he was a man, but yet not sinful. And his body bore our sins on the cross. This is what Christ did for us. So the law cannot claim me. The law cannot condemn me. And under letter C, the law cannot control you, unless you let it. Some people choose that. Sometimes maybe it's a lack of teaching. It's almost like some people, they want to be able to work for their salvation. And we have to love people and then teach them that's not the solution. The law cannot control you. With Christ in us, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled. In verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we know that Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. So he comes in and he says, this is the cost of the law. Let me fulfill it all. I've paid the price. I've done it all. There's no sense in allowing this to control you. Very important. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So Christ fulfilled that law. He's the end of the law for everyone who believes. Says, you come, put your faith and trust in Christ, the law ends. What are you under now? You're under that grace. Romans chapter 8 here, verse 4, ends with us walking in the Spirit rather than after the flesh. And that's very important. Like Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's going to work in us. And he's going to take us in this chapter, in this next part here, and he's going to show us the difference between, you know, walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit. He's going to show us our freedom. When I was a young boy, I was often intrigued by things, toys in particular, that were remote controlled. You remember the first remote controlled things? Yeah. They were on a long cord, weren't they? Yeah. That was as, how far were you away? You know, the further you could get was usually what, 6 feet? sometimes two. I don't know why I always got the ones that have these little tiny cords on there. Might as well have been pushing that thing. But I was always intrigued by these remote control things. But in a few more years after that, things became even more amazing to me in that they were wireless control. When there was a remote control, you could often see a wire, a device, or someone who is in control. A wireless control was developed, and the person controlling was more often unseen, right? Prior to salvation, the law was in control and was quite often obvious in our lives. Before we were saved, there would be the harshness of the law. Had to obey or else. But at salvation, the Holy Spirit came into control, and he remains often, well, unseen, but obviously the power to overcome the flesh. And that's what he's going to show us in this chapter. So that Holy Spirit will be a wireless control. And we will have the opportunity now to glorify God because people aren't going to see any wires. They're going to say, where do you get that peace from? Where do you get that love to love that unlovely person? Where do you get that joy in the midst of yuck? Where do you get that self-control when that person over there deserves a smack in the mouth? Well, that smack in the mouth isn't going to work. Only God's Holy Spirit. Sometimes people, yeah, you'd say they say terrible things or they do terrible things, but that work of the flesh is not going to solve the problem. Where are you going to get that long suffering? Where are you going to get those patience from the Holy Spirit? But there's not going to be a wire attached. It's an unseen work of an almighty God. Once in Christ, having salvation, the law no longer condemns. I am free from sin's judgment. Lord willing, next week we'll look at freedom from defeat. Not only freedom from judgment now, but freedom from defeat. Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you made us free from the law in Christ. He fulfilled all that and set us free. I pray that tonight, as we will have a time of prayer, that this would be beneficial. As we pray for the Rhymers in Liberia, we cannot help but be affected by these videos that we saw tonight. And we praise the Lord for this young woman, this young man who've been baptized. I pray, as Pastor Rhymer also prayed, you would protect them, give them the ability to live for you. Oh, Lord, they need your strength. They need your Holy Spirit to realize that they're no longer condemned in their lives and they're free from that law. Oh, Father, would you help them there in that needy place? And then would you help us here? We ask this in the Savior's name. And amen.